and 1.
Broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National...
secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird. For the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it, we go in the field to investigate. I hope that Forrest has got the Florida bell ready, because our first story of the night, same as last week, comes to us from the state of freaky Florida. Oh, there we go. Good job. Listen to this. It involves a North Carolina man. Now, apparently, this guy had a girlfriend in Florida, and he decided to take her and her two children on a vacation. Now, he claimed to be a successful self-employed stockbroker, and he just needed to stop by the bank while they waited in the car. Well, it's one of those scenes out of a movie, right? The guy goes into the bank 10:40 in the morning, and he comes running out with a bag of cash. The guy ran in there and robbed the bank and took off. It didn't take long before the police caught up, took the man into custody. Why on earth did this man from North Carolina rob a Florida bank? Well, it was because he needed to pay for a Disney cruise. That's right. It reminds me of a little Small World story that you've heard me and Forrest talk about on the show.
Why did you go on a Disney cruise?
Exactly.
There's so many better cruise lines out there. Well, I don't know. In light of recent events that have happened, you heard about the Royal Caribbean story, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The fire that broke out. I mean, the cruise ships are, I don't know, it's one disaster story after another. But if you're going to rob a bank, why rob it for a Disney cruise? But, hey, folks, thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. Producer Forrest Connor, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, just great. It's a nice evening here in lovely Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, you know, I wanted to ask you about that because obviously I am still here in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, and I'm here in Puerto Rico. Every day is like summer here. Is it starting to feel like summer there in Asheville,
Florida? It is. Like earlier this week, like Tuesday night, it was like, it felt great, and like I was outside about this time that evening, and nice breeze blowing, kind of like you might get off the ocean over there.
Well, you know, it's funny because I'm in a little area here called Boquerón, and we have what we call the Boquerón cologne, or the Puerto Rico perfume, which is bug spray, actually. I always have to apply the Boquerón cologne before I go out at night. And it's a little trick that you may or may not know. Once your bug spray is empty, which happens a lot around here, you just bash that can on something and dent it, and the pressure is increased, and you get the last little bits out of your bug spray. It's kind of like squeezing the last little bit out of your toothpaste tube, you know?
Right.
Yeah. So, also, I'm sure joining you there in the studio far, far away from the Bermuda Triangle is Investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. How you doing, Shelley?
Good. Good to talk to you.
Well, great to talk to you again as well. And I think we were talking a little bit off the air about the fact that somebody actually emailed me 11 stories for my new Creepy Little Tales anthology.
I wonder who that could have been.
I mean, 11 stories, really, Shelley? I mean, because I went on Coast to Coast AM earlier this week, and I got a lot of stories coming in, but nobody has sent me 11 stories.
Is that not enough?
You must have like a double life where some really crazy stuff is happening to you every day. How do you come up with 11 stories like that?
I lived it, baby. Yeah.
And they're all true.
They're all true. And there were stories that I could have sent you, and I just ran out of time. I had one after another after another after another.
Well, yeah. You know what? I have not gotten to read your stories yet. But for those who don't know what I'm talking about, you know, it's a book I'm putting together called Creepy Little Tales. I'm asking everybody to send me their true creepy little stories, and they only have to be a few paragraphs, and I want it to be a story that sends a chill down your spine. And now Shelley, again, I have not read your stories, but I got one here from Angela Moore.
Really?
We used to call her the hillbilly psychic. Well, she used to call herself that. You know, people will think we're being mean. But that's what her show was called. She had a show here called the Hillbilly Psychic. Did you ever listen to it, Shelley?
No, I never got to.
Have you ever met Angela Moore?
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We've got to get you two together sometime. So basically, yeah, here's just an example for folks. I'm just going to read this little story that Angela Moore sent me. She says, it was after midnight when Tony picked me up from work and drove me home on a Saturday night. Our two young children, Jamie and Dusty, rode in the back seat of our car, and we were happily discussing our memories of the recent Christmas holidays and looking forward to New Year's resolutions. As we arrived and slowly drove up the front of the home, Tony stopped the car suddenly. Our carefree chatter quickly ended as we all looked at the strange sight presented to us in our picture window. There was a baby doll leaning against the window, its face pressed against the pane, both hands cupped against its vinyl head. It seemed to be peering out of the glass into the darkness of the street. The entire room was bathed in a dim yellow light. My husband remarked that it was a very eerie sight, and I had to agree. We sat there and nervously chuckled at how it seemed to be like a scene from the Twilight Zone. We were assuming that our daughter had left the doll lying on the back of the sofa that normally was under the window, and that the pose was just entirely accidental. And then it dawned on us. The sofa had been moved to make way for the Christmas tree. And though the tree had been removed, the sofa had not yet been returned to its usual place. My husband then wondered aloud about the source of the light, as no lights had been on when we left the home earlier. Amused curiosity was replaced with a sense of unease. I began to wonder, too, what could that doll be resting on? Perhaps the windowsill, I thought. We pulled onto the carport and cautiously entered the house. To our amazement, the doll was completely across the room, lying casually in a chair. No light was on at all. We looked at one another in disbelief and decided to leave it alone and simply go to bed. We have yet to understand the forces that compelled a doll to watch for our homecoming, but that is one holiday memory that I will never forget. Dun, dun, dun. What do you think of that?
Wow. That's a great story. Very eerie.
It's a creepy little story.
Mm-hmm.
Or creepy little doll story.
Creepy.
You know, It's funny because I was, you know, I was on Coast to Coast a few nights ago with George, and I'm telling him about the UFOs and the USOs down here in Puerto Rico, and all of a sudden, just out of the blue, George says, "What's the latest with Robert the Doll down in Key West?" George is really obsessed with Robert the Devil Doll, and you know, I went down there pretty much because George kept telling me over and over, "I want you to do an investigation." I always wanted to see Robert as well. But, you know, before I did the Robert the Doll thing, I wasn't sure if I believed that dolls could get up and run around and do all that crap. Now, I got to tell you guys, I'm open to it. I think it might be true. I mean, how do you feel about that, Forrest?
Dolls are creepy.
Are you freaked out by dolls, Shelley?
I don't like dolls.
Dolls fall into the same category as clowns with me.
Yeah. Yeah. They're... There's just no place for them. Ew. Yeah.
So, what do you think is creepier? A little doll, like, okay, for example, there's an island. Maybe you've seen this on the internet. It's like the island of just forgotten,
the dolls.
Ruined dolls somewhere out there where there's like 1,000 dolls hanging from trees and everything.
No.
What would freak you out more, going to the island of ruined dolls or the island of just ruined clowns hanging everywhere?
Neither one.
Well, I've seen pictures from the doll island, and that is very, very creepy.
I'd probably have to say the dolls, I mean, because clowns, you know, deep down there's something mostly human underneath that makeup and that get-up they have on.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, you know, the tears of a clown, right? There's a sad, person. There's a sad man under that makeup. Well, okay, so, you know, Forrest, obviously we were off the air for about a month while I was getting transitioned down here to the Bermuda Triangle base. And you know, last week I came on and I just kind of caught everybody up with what I've been doing. So this week... Tonight on the show, what we're going to do is try to catch up on this mountain of stories that I have. So, you know, we often have a little, you know, some kind of a little, we often have some sort of a little theme for hour number two, but we're actually going to just talk tonight about the stories that we've been missing out on. And I've got a very interesting personal experience I want to share with you. Forrest, have you ever been on a jet ski?
Yes.
Have you been on a jet ski in the ocean?
No.
Have you been in a jet ski on the ocean when the ocean is angry as hell? Because I have a crazy story. I'm bruised right now. I'm going to tell you my story when we come back. But hey, stick around, folks. This is a good night for you to catch up on all of the most amazing, remarkable, extraordinary, weird news from around the world. I'm your host, Joshua Pinkmark. And you're listening to the program that we like to call Speaking of Strange. We'll be back right after this. From the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, hitchhiking Puerto Rico's extraterrestrial highway, I am your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren. And this is Speaking of Strange. And we're digging into a mountain of weird news tonight that we're sort of behind on. And speaking of behinds, you know, Forrest, I got to tell you, as I'm sitting here at the Bermuda Triangle base, I kind of feel like I have been kicked in the ass about 1,000 times.
Why
you know
is
why?
That?
Well, I went out for a full day of water sports a couple days ago. And the idea was that we were going to first go snorkeling in the morning, which I love to snorkel,
right,
and then do jet skis on the ocean in the afternoon. The ocean was so rough and angry that they almost canceled it, and they probably should have in retrospect. But they decided to go forth, and so I got on probably like a little 10-passenger boat with it was myself and Lauren and a guy and his three daughters, and the captain was sort of a sadist, I think, because he loved to just go full speed into these 8 and 10 foot swells. And I swear, you know, I've been on the ocean quite a bit for a guy who didn't grow up on the ocean, and I have never experienced anything like this. This boat, it would fly up into the air and slam down on the water and fly up into the air and slam down. And like the first couple times, it was kind of fun. You know, it was like some kind of amusement park ride. Finally, how can I put this, Forrest? Well, I am a man, right? So
I know where you're going with that.
I do have some sensitive bits and pieces here. And I was like, this is really turning quickly very unpleasant. And, you know, I had to grab a flotation device and sit on it. And so, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just like slamming over and over and over. It was non-ending. It became painful, you know. So we finally got to the spot we were going to snorkel at. And it was so rough, we couldn't even snorkel. So then he took us to a bay. And the bay was calm, so we snorkeled there, and it was really cool, and every, you know, there were all kinds of great fish around, et cetera, et cetera. And then we went to another calm bay, and we got some good snorkeling in. But then we got back just long enough to reapply some sunblock and down a nice cold Medalla, which is the beer of choice around here, before it was jet ski time. So now I had never been on a jet ski before. Now, Forrest, you said you've done lake jet skiing?
Yes.
And Shelley, have you ever been on a jet ski?
Yes, I have.
And was yours a lake or a ocean?
It was a lake.
Yeah. Well, you know, for a guy who's never been on a jet ski, it was apparently, I mean, well, the guy who owned the water sports company, he came to me and he goes, "This is one of the roughest days I've ever seen on the ocean." And, you know, he said, "But if you get knocked off of the jet ski, you know, don't panic or anything like that. We'll come back. We'll rescue you. You know how it is, guys. There's a key that you plug into the jet ski that hooks to your life vest. Yeah, and it turns off the jet ski and all that." So it's like, all right, okay. So I get on the jet ski, and Lauren gets on behind me. It's a darn good thing that I did the driving, I must say. and so I go, you know, tearing off on this jet ski, and it was scary as hell. I mean, you would not believe what it was like for me as a newcomer on this jet ski, being out there in the middle of the ocean. I mean, because you gotta remember, folks, I'm in Puerto Rico. Look at a map, okay? I'm on an island way out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean here, and they said, the thing is like bobbing side to side, and I mean, it just feels like it's going to turn over at any point. And Lauren's in the back saying all this negative stuff like, "Oh, it's going to really suck if we crash." I'm like, "God, be quiet." And so we finally get to a point where the other guys slow down and they say to me, "Okay, we are about to cross a boundary where the Atlantic meets the Caribbean." And they said, "This is going to be the roughest water out here." And I'm thinking, God, what, you know, why are we doing this? I thought we were going to take like a nice little stroll down the coastline. No, we're so far out in the ocean, I can't even see the shore.
and they're telling me now it's going to get really rough. And so I'm just, you know, I'm expecting to wipe out. So here we go. And, man, when you cross that boundary from the Atlantic into the Caribbean, it is so ridiculously rough. The waves are so high. I mean, it almost seems impossible that you're going to keep this thing upright. I felt like James Bond, though. I got to tell you, I'm like just tearing off through these, just like jumping up. You could make a commercial out of some of the crap I did on this jet ski. And of course, it didn't take long before another jet ski turned over. You know, the guy I told you there was a guy who had some daughters. Well, he works for the Coast Guard. This guy's been on jet skis his whole life. He couldn't stay on his jet ski. He got knocked off. They had to turn around and rescue him. But believe it or not, I never once got knocked off the jet ski, nor did Lauren. And there came a point, to make matters worse, where here we are again, you know, we're tearing across the ocean. And the weather around here is very, very stratified, meaning that, you know, it's one of those deals like you'll be standing on one side of the street and it's sunny, and on the other side it's raining. And it's very, very distinct weather patterns. It's not like in the mountains where kind of everybody's getting the same weather at once. And so it was sunny where we were riding the jet skis, but off in the distance there was this big, dark, horrible storm. And let me tell you, when it's about to rain around here, it looks like the gates of hell are about to open. It's scary looking. And in the distance, the sky is dark, and there are all these incredible lightning bolts striking. And I mean, I saw a lightning bolt, I'm not exaggerating, one lightning bolt that flashed for about 5 seconds. Just, you know, it was just over and over and over. But yeah, so I go through this whole experience, and it was more, I got to be honest, it was more scary than fun. But when it was all done, the guy who owns the company, he said to me, next time you get on a jet ski, it's going to be nothing. You know, he's like, this, you have gotten on a jet ski and been introduced under the worst possible circumstances. So, you know, I'm in no hurry to jump back on a jet ski, frankly. And you know, I got a little sunburn.
But would you do it again?
I'd do it again, but I'm not jonesing to do it again. So, how long's it been since you were on a jet ski for us?
Oh, about 10 years.
Yeah. Wow, that's a long time. Yep. So you weren't jonesing either, were you?
No, I mean, there's days that come around and be like, oh, it'd be nice to have a jet ski right now, and like if you're over near a lake or hanging out at a lake or something. But I mean, nothing that I have to do.
Hmm. Shelly, how long ago did you jump on a jet ski?
Probably about the same amount of time, probably 10 years or so.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, you know, I'm kind of proud. I think I got that James Bond thing going on. I have to wait to the dark 30 hour to tell you what I really think, you know. there are terms that I can't use this hour of the night.
That you called your guide, because I would have.
Yeah. This is the family-friendly part of the show, when we tell you to go to creepylittletales.com and send me a creepy little story, like Shelly did 11 times. And we were talking about off the air, Shelly, your stories. They sound bona fide, like really creepy stuff.
Oh, yeah. I do not disappoint.
Well, okay, let me tell you guys one more thing before we jump into the news that I have. Because, I mean, I've got all kinds of crazy news that I'm going to tell everybody about. And I know we're going to be coming up on a break here in the near future. But let me go ahead and tell you guys that I met a fisherman who told me about one of the most incredible UFO experiences that you can imagine. And, you know, I think I'm just going to save this one till after the break, because this is a really, really good story. And I'm going to get to go out on an adventure with this fisherman. And so when I go out with him, he is taking me to the place where he had this experience. Now, I've been talking to people who have had UFO experiences my whole life. And yet, there is something about the idea of really seeing one of these things. I mean, really seeing one of these that's life altering. You know, it's different from the idea of watching Close Encounters or watching E.T. I mean, if you really saw one of these and you really felt it was from another dimension, another world, that would change your life. I want to have that experience. So I'll tell you about what I have on the horizon here when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
The point of no turning back. Flight of fancy on a windswept field. Standing alone, my senses reel. Fates of attraction.
Digs into high strangeness and broadcasting to high strangers all around the globe. I am Joshua P. Warren. You are listening to Speaking of Strange. And mind you, yes, the weather is turning and it's becoming summery and nice and people are enjoying the world once again, but that also means the storm season is kicking in. And don't forget now, my team and I produce the Sunshine Simple solar generator for the home. It's the world's most powerful solar generator for the lowest price. Okay, it never needs fuel. It doesn't make any noise. And the great thing is now we have a special plan where you can buy it. And if you qualify through PayPal, you don't have to make any payments. There's no interest for 6 months. 6 months! So go to sunshinesimple.com, that's sunshinesimple.com, and just watch the free video and take advantage of it. You know, this is a new credit program for you. So tonight we're digging into a lot of the weird news that we need to catch up on. And it's crazy because, yes, we've got a three-hour show, but it's just going to fly right by. But I was talking about, before the break, a fisherman that I recently met here in Puerto Rico. And this is the last Puerto Rico story I'm going to tell you. because I know you guys are like, oh, Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico, Puerto Rico. But no, I'm here in the Bermuda Triangle, you know. I'm not going to be here forever, so I'm going to tell you stories about things that are happening while I'm here. And while I'm here. And so I met a fisherman who told me, I think he said something like, I think he said it was 2 months ago. He was sitting out there in the ocean during broad daylight fishing. And he turned and was absolutely astounded to see this big silver flying saucer just sitting there next to his boat, hovering over the water. So here he is, his mouth agape, mesmerized, astounded by what he's seeing. And this saucer shot about 1,000 feet away from him, and then right back next to him again. And then 1,000 feet away from him, and then right back next to him again, and then zipped off into the sky. And this guy, he told me that, you know, he goes out a lot at night and fishes for red snapper. And he has seen all kinds of weird lights in the sky at night. But he has never had a broad daylight experience like this. And he was fishing in the ocean very close to, yes, the UFO lagoon, Laguna Cartagena. And so he has offered to spend a full day with me. We're going to get together early in the morning. He's going to take me out fishing with him, and he's going to take me to that exact spot where he saw this flying saucer. We're going to spend the day there. We'll take a little break, you know, in the evening, and then we'll go back out at night. And we'll break out Dean Worsing's third-generation night vision goggles and watch the sky at night. So that's about as good of a deal as you can get, to have a local native fisherman take you to the spot where he saw a flying saucer outside the lagoon. That sounds like a pretty cool day on the water, huh, Forrest?
It does. I'm jealous.
Yeah, well, you see, I want to see this, you know. I mean, I've told everybody on the program before. For me, probably the most amazing UFO sighting that I've ever had was when I was in Nevada with Dean Worsing and Dean Jr., and we were out there in the desert, and I looked up through the third generation, and I saw this huge V-shaped thing that was traveling across the horizon, and they saw it as well. That was astounding, but to have a broad daylight experience like that, that would change my life. And I want so much for it to happen, because, I mean, I go walking around this town, and now, you know, I have a little bit of a reputation. People know that there's a wacky, you know, UFO gringo here, and people are coming up to me left and right telling me about these things they're seeing here. I mean, I talked to a woman just a couple nights ago who was a principal of a school here, and she said she was driving along the coast in Mayagüez, which is about 20 minutes north of here, and that, again, this is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. She looks over, and she sees this big silver triangular UFO come flying out of the water, and it just zips up into the sky, and it's so common here that I know I'm going to see one of these things. These people who are telling me this, they're very sincere. So, I don't know. I mean, I've got to see something like that. And I want you all to know, listening to this show, that when I finally see something like that, I mean, I'm going to come on here and I'm going to tell you every detail of it. And you're going to know it's a real deal. It's a big scenario. But, Forrest, you know what's freaking me out a little bit?
What?
I have a feeling that since I'm talking about this on Speaking of Strange, and I'm talking about it on Coast to Coast AM, that there's going to be a knock on my door one day. And I open the door, and the men in black will be here.
Now, do you think they'll be your traditional men in black, or do you think they'll be updated for the 21st century?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't know.
I mean,
you know,
they might not be even in black anymore.
That's right. Yeah,
they're in Bermuda shorts.
Yeah, that would be about right. Yeah. something that looks awkward, nonetheless.
Mr. Warren, you need to come with us.
I mean, but think about this, because I want to tell you right now, before that possibly happens. Here I am broadcasting all over the world from this island where all this crazy stuff's happening. If I get a knock on the door, and the men in black come, and they sit down here on my couch, and they get Lauren down here, and they say, hey, you need to shut the you-know-what up, because if you don't, we're going to kill you. Well, then, guess what? I'm going to shut up. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, whose phone's going off? Is that your phone, Forrest?
It was.
Right in the middle.
The men in black.
The men in, is that who's calling you? The men in black are calling you?
Maybe.
You know, crap. Crap. I had a feeling that was going to happen.
You need to shut up now.
So you know, and if the men in black sit down and say, you know, we're going to kill you, I'm going to have to shut up. So I want you guys to know this, just in case something odd happens, right? And all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk about UFOs anymore. Or
maybe, what it means, say no more.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll just be like, screw it, I'm going to die this way. Let them kill me, and I'll come on here, and I'll do one last broadcast. But, Forrest, if we do that, then it's going to be in your hands. So then the men in black are going to come visit you. And then, you know, if they don't get to you, they'll go to Brian Hall. And, you know, he's the program director.
Eventually, they'll go up the chain. They'll do anything to stop it.
That's right. So, I don't know. Am I conspiratorial enough? You can see what my mind is leading me to tonight. Well, okay, look at this. I got a story here. And, okay, so I'm trying to think how deeply we can dig into this. You know what these 3D printers are? Shelly, you know what a 3D printer is?
I've heard of them.
Do you understand what a 3D printer is, though?
Not really. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Well, okay, when a traditional printer prints out letters on a piece of paper, you got the little ink cartridge that just kind of zips back and forth, left to right, and it lays down a layer of ink, right?
Right.
And that's a flat layer of ink. So it's like a two-dimensional layer. But if that same print cartridge went over and over and over that same spot, then it could actually build up a mound of ink, right?
Right.
And so that's sort of how 3D printers work. It's like a cartridge that's full of something. It could be ink. It could be plastic. You know, and usually nowadays it's plastic. And layer by layer, it keeps sort of shaping the form of some object that has a three-dimensional design. Well, we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, I'm going to tell you about a new leap that's been made with 3D printing that they say is going to end world hunger, possibly, because there are printers out there now that will be able to print food. So you sit down and you're like, oh, I want a drumstick, you know, and it prints you.
It's like a replicator on Star Trek.
Exactly. That's where we are now. In the world, and with the world of technology. It's incredible. I'm Joshua P. Warren. We'll tell you about that and a lot more weird stuff when we come back. This is Speaking of Strange.
Yeah.
Thank you for spending your Saturday night with us. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. And, you know, let me just clarify something. I have talked to people here on this island of Puerto Rico, here in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, who have said that the men in black have showed up at their houses, okay? This actually happens here. And they say, stop talking. So it's not just my imagination. It's not just my paranoia. I have talked to people who have experienced this, and it is pretty amazing that I can sit here at this base in the middle of the triangle and talk to all of you. And I fully intend to do it as much and as often as I can. But could they shut me down? Of course they could. It could happen. So for now, you better take advantage. You better tune in. And if you are on the internet, go to speakingofstrange.com. You'll find podcasts of past shows. You'll also find a live chat during the show and more information on topics discussed, including a link to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours. You know, my Haunted Asheville Mystery Museum is there in the basement of the Asheville Masonic Temple. And so you can go there and enjoy an alternative view of Asheville history, things you probably never heard about our region, and, of course, take ghost walk, trolley tours. I mean, they're all running strong right now. So I was talking about 3D printing. So Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop, you're in the studio there in Asheville. Does my explanation make sense to you regarding how a 3D printer works?
Yeah, it made perfect sense.
Okay, good. But, you know, usually when the ink cartridge sweeps across the page, it just prints a flat two-dimensional line. But imagine it doing that over and over and over and building up a three-dimensional form. So as this thing's going across, it's starting and stopping at certain points. And that's essentially how a 3D printer works. So there's been controversy because I've read stories about 3D printers that have plastic in them. So, for example, instead of an ink cartridge, maybe you'd have a cartridge full of liquid plastic, something like, think of it like as a glue gun, maybe. And so you can actually create physical objects. Now, the easiest thing to create might be something like a little doll. But there are people who are apparently printing guns with these in places where guns are not usually allowed. So it's almost like, you know, here's where the future is going. You get on the internet and you download a program that has the design for a gun. And you're like, okay, this is the gun blueprint. And you hit enter, and your big gooey print cartridge there starts printing, and it prints out a gun, which is, of course, illegal in certain places. But, you know, you reach in, you're like, nice, I got myself a gun here. And then you go out, and you start murdering people, right? Because that's what we do with guns. That's all we do with guns, Forrest. We just kill people,
you
right?
Murder with them, yes.
Yeah. so now this has taken on a whole new spin because apparently NASA has given a company here, Systems and Materials Research Corporation, $125,000 as a grant to not print with plastic, but to print with organic cells and to print food. So, okay, you know, imagine when you eat a piece of food, well, that food is broken down into, you know, a little molecular cellular structure. So they're starting at that point. There's really no point to even print it. You could just eat goo, but I guess it's more palatable when it looks like a Kentucky Fried Chicken drumstick or a Big Mac or something. So they're talking about sending these organic printers to countries where people are starving and allowing them to print their food out. Now tell me that's not strange, huh? Are we not living in the future?
It's weird.
That is very weird.
Yeah. They say that once you reduce it down, they're looking right now at a powder because it takes the moisture out. And they're saying this could last for 15 years, a 15-year shelf life.
Isn't that what MREs are for?
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dig into a lot of weird news. And here's the also a NASA story. It says, is our universe one of billions? Now, that seems illogical at first because uni means one, but there is evidence that our universe is actually one of billions. Can you comprehend that? Probably not. I'll explain when we come back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.